Springfield's Talk 1041. My name is Nick Reed. Welcome to the show live from Scramblers Republic Road and National. Yes, it is very cold outside. It's about 5-6 degrees, but it's nice and warm inside. So I'd love for you to come out, have breakfast. They do open at 6 a.m. And, of course, we are here until 9. And we do this every Friday for those that aren't familiar or overly familiar with the show. And it's just a way for us to get out and to do the show somewhere live. So love for you to come out, Republic Road and National. Again, that is Scramblers. If you do miss any of the show, I know a lot of folks who come out here get to talking and chatting away, and they miss segments. We do have our on-demand section. And if you ever have any questions or comments, whether it's about the show or anything about the station, you can always text in to the American Transmissions talk and text line, which is 447-KSGF. The line always receives text messages, although we aren't in there, obviously, all the time. We're there during the show. We have access to it. But even if you hear something in the evenings or overnight and you think, well, they won't get this, we'll still get it. We'll see it in the morning. So feel free to use that at any time. And forgetting the number is no big deal. You can download our KSGF app and you easily can, just with the tap of a button, either text or call that American Transmissions talk and text line right there to the studio. We're going to chat with Tom Martz here in just a few moments. First, Jason Reimer with the latest news update. All right, let's take a look at that first alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. And incidentally, I will say that windows can make a tremendous difference on your utilities. I bring it up because this time of year, I really genuinely, you hear people, they talk about, oh, you'll save this much on your utilities. People try to sell you windows. And, I'm telling you, the house that we bought, it was built in 78, and I think the windows were the original windows. And when we had St. Clair of the Ozarks put in, our utilities really significantly dropped. And so it can make a tremendous difference. And if you do have utility issues, you may want to have one of the guys from St. Clair of the Ozarks come out and check out your windows. And, you know, it may be something else going on there, but that's certainly, I know I've learned, is a tremendous source of savings potential there. Sunny, high of 29 today, 17 tonight, mostly sunny, 40 on Saturday, and Sunday sunny with a high of 48. It is 6. Hey, everyone, it's Tom Martz.
My house was built in 1940.
Well,
and we still have the 1940
really?
Windows in it.
See, my parents, their house was it was in the teens, and they have the original windows, and they're difficult to open because the windows then, they had the weights, like the rope and then weights that was supposed to help pull, but over time those break off inside the wall and so forth.
See, ours has the at the top we have the holes where the ropes would go down in.
Okay,
but at some point that was taken away, because I could never figure out what the holes in the top of the windowsill were for. And I had Bob come over, and he was talking about how the ropes would go down through.
Yeah.
So they got rid of that, but at some point in time, they went through and they painted all the windows and windowsills. And, of course, when you paint the windowsill, nobody remembers to open up the little portholes, so when it rains, it allows the water to flow through there. I'm not a huge fan of vinyl, and, you know, it's one of those things. I found a really nice set of windows that I like, but the place that has them is now requiring people to fill out a credit app in order just to get into the facility where they're operating their business at to purchase anything. Right. And I'm like, I'm not going to go.
Nope, not going to do it. Our house, generally when houses are built, they don't put a tremendous amount of focus on windows. They basically put something in that has glass, and they were single pane and sort of the metal frame. And when I knew we needed something, it was one day, and the weather was nice enough, if I remember, that windows could be open. And anyway, I was getting ready to go to bed, and the curtains, you could see flowing a bit. And so I thought, well, I better shut the window. And when I went to, I realized the window was shut. I got to do something about it, and that's how we ended up getting new windows. So anyway, well, let's go ahead, get the traffic now. We can start with this day in history.
Okay.
Tom Arts here at Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed. Hey, everyone, we're at Scramblers. Good morning. My name is Nick Reed, and we got Tom Arts with us.
And we have today's date in history.
Oh, yay!
In 1677, the first medical publication in America was published in Boston, Massachusetts.
I hope they didn't just let any doctor print his or her opinion in that.
I have no idea.
I hope it was government approved.
But it was a pamphlet on smallpox.
Oh, all right.
Okay. In 1813, the first reference to pineapple cultivation in Hawaii in a diary entry by Francis de Paula Marin.
Okay.
In 1813 as well, Spaniard Don Francisco de Paula y Marin plants coffee in Hawaii. It's the first record of coffee cultivation in Hawaii as well. 1830, in Portsmouth, Ohio, African Americans were forcibly deported.
Huh?
1830. Now, we're not talking 1860, which would come 30-plus years later, but 1830.
Where do we know?
I don't know. I didn't click on the link. I didn't want to be a racist.
Yeah.
In 1861, Jefferson Davis of Mississippi and four other Southern senators resigned. In 1903, Harry Houdini escapes from the Halvermanstering police station in Amsterdam.
Oh, all right.
How do you contain a guy who's the master of escape?
I don't know. Not very well, I guess.
In 1939, George Kaufman and Moss Hart's American Way premieres in New York City. Today also is the date that Jimmy Carter pardoned all the people who decided not to participate in the Vietnam War.
All right.
In 1977. Of course, a large chunk of those individuals went up to Canada.
Right.
And I think Muhammad Ali actually did it the correct way.
Used the religious exemption?
Well, he basically said, I am not going over to Vietnam for a war that you all started. I did nothing to the yellow man. Of course, that would be racist today for a black man to call.
Now, Hunter Biden has used that terminology in much of the information released from his laptop, and no one seemed to be bothered by it. So I guess it's, at least if you're a white male Democrat, you're allowed to use that terminology referring to Asians.
Yeah, because it's almost like that we live in a parallel universe.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you go back to, I guess it'd be 5 years ago today, I remember a limo being set on fire in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, I think it was the U.S. Bank or Central Bank or whatever it was, getting the windows blown
police
out of them.
Police officers were having water bottles thrown at them.
Yeah, it was just a very peaceful protest.
Oh, yeah.
It was
a women's
march.
Yeah. Well, even that was even before the women's march. And there was an attempt to break through the police barricade to get to the inauguration for the peaceful transition of power. It's sad, but it was a few weeks ago on ABC with George Stephanopoulos, and it was noted by the one Republican they have on there as they were talking about January 6th. It was around January 6th that they were having this discussion that, you know, hey, Democrats have been questioning elections for a very long time, and George Stephanopoulos is like, yeah, but they don't react the same way. They don't get upset and riot. I'm like, what world are you living in? It looked like a war zone. Somebody posted a photo. It was from, I think, a helicopter shot of D.C., and it looked like it was on war because of the smoke plumes, the fires that were started, the cars that were overturned, the attempt to, again, breach security onto the White House, you know, into the White House to disrupt the inauguration. But, oh, no, you know, there was no commission on that, no committee on that. Nobody blamed Democrats for that and their rhetoric that the election was illegitimate. That was legit because Trump was so awful. That was a normal, reasonable reaction to have.
Then wasn't the time to point out political differences.
Oh, yes.
We need to come together.
Right.
As
yes,
a nation.
Exactly. Yes. Don't play politics by blaming anyone for these riots.
The only thing that was missing, of course, I still have that video of the car fire, of the limo fire. And, of course, you can see people who were videotaping it instead of doing anything about it. But the only thing that's missing is the Kumbaya crowd bringing marshmallows and roasting sticks to the homeless out in the area.
That's true.
To feed them.
Yeah.
And hot dogs and those types.
And they could have done it over the fires they started.
Right.
Yeah.
Be very beneficial.
Because those were righteous fires, see.
It would be dual purpose.
Do we get all the dates this day in history?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds good. Well, let's go ahead and take the break, and then we got some Republican and Democrat gameplay coming up here with Tom Martz from Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed. All right, we're at Scramblers with Tom Martz, and this is the time of the morning on Friday where we play a game called Republican or Democrat. Tom Martz, he reads legislation, the title of legislation that is in the Missouri Senate, right? No, right?
Senate,
yeah, the minutes
of
Missouri Senate. And then I try to guess based upon that whether it's Republican or Democrat. Now, there's a number of reasons we do this. One is to demonstrate that, or these are some of the things you can learn. One, you can learn that oftentimes the title is very misleading. Two, you can also learn that oftentimes, even if the title is something that gives you a true sense of what the legislation is, sometimes there really aren't many differences between Republicans and Democrats. You'll think, oh, well, that's an expanded government legislation, and it turns out that, oh, it's a Republican. And at the same time, it's sort of a fun way to actually learn what bills are being potentially evaluated for further discussion and a vote in the state or in the Senate as well. So it's our fun little thing. There are no prizes. I've got a pretty good record so far this season. And you at home, feel free to play along.
Senate Bill 702 creates a new unlawful employment practice.
Democrat.
Republican.
Oh.
It's 4 pages long, and it...
Here I was bragging, and now I got right out of the gate. I got the first one wrong.
This bill is to prevent an employer from refusing an employee a religious exemption requirement that is specific to COVID-19.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Senate Bill 714 modifies provisions relating to parole eligibility.
See, now for people, this is a good lesson. Because we don't know how it modifies based on the title, it's a flip of the coin. I'll say Democrat.
It is a Democrat. Okay. It's 2 pages long. And I have denoted down here to read the bill, but I won't do that because it's a hodgepodge conglomeration of if you did this but didn't do that, if you've been in this, you've been that, you've been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But basically it's making it so that the less violent criminal sees parole.
Okay.
So people are sitting in jail for 30 years for possession of marijuana.
Okay.
Don't need to be sitting in jail for 30 years.
Got it. Okay.
Senate Bill 733 establishes the Entertainment Industry Jobs Act.
Republican.
Republican.
I feel like who did this?
Hoskins.
Okay.
It's 11 pages long, and what it's actually doing is it's creating sellable tax credits to the entertainment industry should they do things in the state of Missouri. It's also for, like, bands and touring groups and those types of things.
Well, athletes also, aren't they taxed as entertainment? Don't they have to pay an
entertainment
tax?
Well, the football teams would be, but this is not for the athlete, but it would be for the venues, but it's not for those that are established. So the Kansas City Chiefs would not be able to participate in this. But when Reba McEntire comes in, in February, if this was law, then she could participate in it. And should she choose not to, she could actually sell the tax credits that she has attributed to her tour to somebody else to so they could deflect certain costs while they were here.
All right, okay.
Sellable tax credits were a huge thing when Greitens became our Navy SEAL governor. Because he was going to get rid of them, and the Republicans were just absolutely furious.
I remember, and his position was we should not allow government to be involved in picking winners and losers in the free market system.
Yeah, because what it does is actually allows corporations to, it's a way for corporations and smaller companies to deflect certain costs, or they can sell their tax credit at a certain price, and then they can have revenue come into them,
right,
which allows them for expansion and all kinds of different things. Senate Bill 642 establishes the Missouri Video Control Act.
Yeah, so this is another one kind of going blind into it's a Republican.
It is a Republican. Yeah. It is Hoskins. And this creates a regulatory framework for the use of player-activated terminals for the conduct of lottery games.
What area is Hoskins from?
Yeah, I think he's up by Washington Union, that area up there, if I'm not mistaken. But he's been big on this lottery thing.
Okay.
And you got to remember, there are certain entities here in the state of Missouri that have gaming games that are set up that aren't officially licensed, so we set up a snitch number to prevent the state from not getting their portion of the proceeds. Senate Bill 664 modifies provisions relating to parole.
So again, Democrat.
Republican. And this bill is 6 pages long, and they've changed one word in it.
Okay.
Basically, you've got your first degree. Well, what this bill is doing is it's adding the second degree crime to a piece of legislation to prevent you from being able to get early parole, even for good behavior and those types of things. They're forcing it so that you have to serve more of your sentence.
Hoskins is between, Hoskins Senate District is to the east of Kansas City a bit.
Oh.
And goes north and south of it, and then not quite over to Columbia. So that's where.
So that's close to up where Nick Marshall was at.
Okay. So there we go.
Oh, and by the way, I did forget one important thing on today's date in history.
Yes.
Today's date in 2020 is the first confirmed case of COVID-19 found in the United States.
Oh, was it? Well, what a banner day. And things have only gotten better since.
There was a gentleman who was in Wuhan, China.
What? Now quit your xenophobia over there.
Well, it sparked a pandemic. A man had returned home to Snoqualmie County, Washington, near Seattle on January 15th after traveling to Wuhan. He checked into an urgent care clinic after seeing reports about the outbreak. He experienced a cough, a fever, nausea, and vomiting. The Centers for Disease Control announced on January 21 that the 35-year-old had tested positive for COVID-19. He was hospitalized where his condition grew worse and he developed pneumonia. His symptoms abated 10 days later.
I wonder how many people in the States actually had COVID prior to that.
I suspect
quite a bit.
But they had the U.S. outbreak, 39 residents of Life Care Center, a nursing home in Kirtland, died from complications from the virus in 1 4-week span. Now, it doesn't say whether the governor put people who had COVID into the old folks home.
That's where people like Cuomo and Gretchen Whitmer, they're like, oh.
But I do find this part interesting. According to the CDC, 14 U.S. coronavirus cases were noted by public health agencies between January 21 and February 23. All patients had traveled to China. The first non-travel case was confirmed in California on February 26th, and the first U.S. death was reported on February the 29th. And they go on to talk about how the unemployment rate reached record high levels, comparable to the Great Depression, because businesses, schools, and social gatherings were largely shut down. And they also go on to discuss how it is that they actually went back in time a little bit to change the death certificates for some people to make them related to COVID.
Retroactively.
I wonder why.
Yeah. Scramblers, Republic Road National. I am Nick Reed with Tom Moritz. We've got more coming up in just moments. How about a traffic update? The First Alert forecast. We are going to continue to see this cold weather. Slowly getting warmer through the weekend, though. A high of only 29 today. Low of 17 tonight. Mostly sunny, 40 tomorrow. And Sunday, sunny with a high of 48. And we've got Tom Moritz with us. Now, I'm going to take the time. I'm going to do a little personal promotion here. One of my family members, this begins to sound like it's going to be a sad thing. It's not. She is, so this is my sister, Ashley. I have three sisters. She is the oldest of those three sisters. And she is in the running to be, it's like a spokesperson or a spokesmodel for Inked Magazine.
So she got all the looks.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so hurtful. But she's not the only one. I had other talents. So anyway, the way they do it is online voting, and there are evidently different categories, and she keeps bouncing between first and second place in her category. And so she's currently first place. There are 13 days in which the first cut occurs, and they do an interview with her as well as the others. And you can either purchase votes, which I'm not asking you to do. It goes to something called Music Cares. I don't know what that is. But everyone can, you know, people can vote once a day, and it doesn't cost anything. So I put the voting up on my Facebook page, 1041 Nick Reed, or Sarah posted it up there. So I'm just asking, if you don't mind, while you're there, if you visit there and you see it, you know, do the free daily vote. It asks you when you do so, log into Facebook, but since you are already on Facebook, when you click it, then it will just register your vote automatically. And so anyway, if you would do that, I'm trying to help her out on it. Like I said, she keeps going between first. She's awesome. She's my sister. So, I mean, right there, you know that she's awesome. But in addition to the awesome personality and brains and wit and everything, she does have the looks.
Since there's only five listeners, they need to go back and vote many, many times.
Well, you can only vote once a day. You'd be surprised how many listeners we have. What I'm hoping is that it will just skyrocket her, and then everyone else get up. Well, it's funny because I'm a member of a Facebook group that, what's the best way to put this? I don't know how I became a member of it, because it is made up of people in the military. I just noticed I was one day seeing all of these pop up, and then I was like, wait, why do I keep seeing this pop up? And then I noticed it was a thing that I was a member of, and I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if somebody just put me in there or what. I know I didn't put myself in there. And there was somebody who is also up for it in that group, because they were saying, hey, guys, I'm trying to get, you know, to be a spokesmodel for this. You know, and I think there's a prize. There's a significant financial payment associated with this. And I thought, well, if she's using that outlet, by gosh, I'm going to use mine to help my sister. It's the very least I can do.
Very cool.
If you don't mind voting once a day, or at least today if you forget later, I'm going to keep plugging it, reminding people over the next 13 days. So that'll be on my Facebook page, 1041 Nick Reed. All right, we got Tom Martz.
I don't know when we have to go to break, but the federal government is getting ready to dispatch, and I'm lost in the zeros, so I'm going to say it's $1.9 billion dollars to Missouri.
Oh.
To Department of Elementary and Secondary Education to help.
What is that, like a third of our budget?
It's to help fund vaccine clinics at schools. So there is a, and I'll send this link to Sarah so she can put it up so people can go and read it. But there are, Desi has a PDF set up that basically they've outlined the criteria by which they're promoting that schools start doing vaccine clinics. They recommend a certain shot for the vaccine because of the age 5 through 13. And the they're talking about how it is that you can get monetary prizes like college scholarships or all kinds of different things if you have your child come in to get vaccinated or a booster.
I think history is going to look back on this moment in time and just with awe teach about propaganda and, you know, this day and age where you had the government and in the schools, you know, offering games and prizes to young children to induce them in order to get injections. And it just, to me, is so overtly the sort of thing that as kids we learned that fascist governments would do, or, you know, and just the propaganda component to it. You know, we grew up hearing about governments that did propaganda, the propaganda films, whether it was, you know, the Nazis or you know, just any other countries and the films that would be shown. And while in our country, I'm fully aware that there were propaganda films that were put out, but from everything I understand, the propaganda films we always had was kind of like pro-America against the overseas enemy. You know, it was propaganda about helping fight in the war against fascism and so forth. It was propaganda against countries that did this sort of propaganda. And it's just amazing to me all of the things that I grew up learning were signs of governments that were not of free countries, and that it's just a no-brainer here today.
I'm going to catch a lot of...
And if you criticize it, you're some sort of weirdo.
I'm going to catch a lot of guff for this statement, but while we were promoting why it is that we should be over there fighting these fascist countries, we were slowly becoming fascist ourselves.
Yeah.
By promoting the message, well, we don't want to be like that country, but incrementally we have become the very same country. The only thing we haven't had yet is the mass gas chambers and stuff like that.
Right.
But we've done it incrementally. You think about Ruby Ridge. You think about Waco.
Oh, yeah.
You think about the Tuskegee Airmen experiment. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of different things that the government has done to its people. And vaccines are actually one of those things that we have subjected to that it's quite possible that have led to things down the road further that we now call something different. You know, where did all these different cancers come from? Have we ever researched the, you know, back when we were kids, all the different vaccines that we got? Have that mindset created what we have now?
The reason people dismiss these realities that you're talking about is because they think, well, it's different. Because those other countries, when they did things, it wasn't so much about the fascism. It was that there were bad people in charge. And, you know, here, the intent is good and so forth. But this is one of the reasons that this country was developed on liberty and freedom. Because, yeah, you can have a communist form of government where you have a dictator that's, you know, actually a really nice person that decides that I'm not going to imprison people, I'm not going to have people murdered, I'm not going to do any of this stuff, you know, just sort of actually a very benevolent dictator. But the problem is with that form of government, when you have somebody bad that does get in that position, giving them those tools. And so we were set up to where the tools aren't even supposed to exist. So in reality, it didn't matter. Oh, you got a president of the United States that's a complete maniacal, crazed nut job personally. But you don't give him the tools. You don't allow him or her the tools in order to use them in a nefarious way because that's not the role of government. And so it isn't it's the combination, but ultimately when you have these forms of fascism, and yeah, people may see it here and go, well, it's different because it's being used for positive purposes. Well, you may believe that, but what happens when somebody comes along that doesn't want to use it for positive purposes, but there's precedent? And so the courts say, well, this was allowed because of this 30, 40 years ago, and so it's allowed today. And that's how you end up going from bad to worse.
Yeah, we have slowly become, incrementally, the very nations that we have dispatched troops over.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
And and in that case, too, you can't give people freedom. You can't give people what they're not accustomed to. And I think we're at that point here. Our, you know, Washington, Jefferson, those people actually had to fight for their freedom. We were handed it to us, and now we incrementally allow the government to control our every life.
Well, I mean, look at, I mean, you talk about we used to fight the people that we are today. The Nazis, that was a socialist party. I mean, it was the German Workers' Socialist Party. That was their ideology. And we have people today, I mean, one party in particular, but we do. We have socialism in this country. And you have some that openly acknowledge that they're democratic socialists, which, incidentally, so were the Nazis. You know, those were people democratically elected. And so we are literally the people that we once fought, that you had young people sign up lying about their age so that they could go fight that ideology, that evil ideology we have here today in this country. And what a shame it is. Absolute shame. Going to take a break. More with Tom Martz coming up here in moments from Scramblers. I'm Nick Reed. Scramblers, my name is Nick Reed. I want to welcome you to the show here with Tom Martz.
Hey, I had one of the Christian County MRA individuals come up to me this morning and discussing, because Darren Chappell just popped in here,
yes,
too, about redistricting. Of course, he was making the comment, not Darren, but the other individual. I guess there's an emergency clause attached to this bill. And they were up at the Capitol yesterday while this bill was being debated.
Mm-hmm.
And an emergency clause just makes it so that as soon as the governor signs it, it becomes law. And, of course, with the new census, they're having to redistrict everything. So it's the entire state for the congressional districts, and it's also the entire state for the state representative districts, and it's the entire state for the state senatorial districts that are getting done. So he was asking me about the emergency clause. Of course, this is the first time that we've ever heard that the legislative body is a little bit up in arms about employing an emergency clause.
So, it seems to be used all the time.
You know, in 10 years, maybe we have finally started to make inroads up there to say, hey, why are you employing an emergency clause for something that's not really an emergency? It's not for public health. It's not for public safety.
No.
And I don't know when the districts have to be redrawn. It would seem to me that they would have to have that passed, and it would have to be law prior to the primary.
Yeah,
Well, you don't do that for state rep. You do it at the you have to go up and register.
Okay, yeah.
And you pull chits,
right, okay,
out of the thing to figure out what position you are on the ballot.
That's right.
So, and I forget exactly what that's
Darren
called, but
no.
it would seem to me that would have to be done prior to, because you'd have to know what district you live in, because of the census being taken. You don't actually at this point have to live in the district that you're running for,
mm-hmm.
but you do have to, before the end of your term, you do have to reside in that district for a certain time frame. So, like, if I'm in 131st now, but I'm going to be in 133rd when I'm redistricted, and say there's not a person who's term limited out, I would have to move into that district or move out of my district prior to, if I got elected,
right,
that point. So I don't know at what point that needs to become law in order for people to go up and put their names on the ballot. for the primary.
Yeah, and as Tom mentioned, Darren Chappell is here, and Darren Chappell had announced some time ago that he was making a run for the assembly, and all of this redistricting has changed or has altered the landscape for him in that capacity. And so I had asked him, he's here having breakfast this morning, I said, well, if you don't mind in the 8 o'clock hour, come on and just talk a little bit about that, because I think that, one, the redistricting, people understand the concept that based on the census, lines get redrawn. And they understand that sometimes there is political gerrymandering that occurs. But they don't necessarily understand the implications it has on people who are planning on running. You have people that live in an area, and that area is, you know, made up of a certain number of voters, and they're traditionally, while there is some back and forth, you know, you'll have areas that are heavily Democrat or areas that are heavily Republican, and they can be drawn up in a way that throws all of that out the window and totally changes things. And so I'd ask him, just sort of as a civics lesson, which he's very, very good at giving, to come on and talk a little bit about that. And so he'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour on that. If you miss any of it, we'll have it in the on-demand section. I want to get the last break out of the way of the hour, and then we'll finish out, round out the 7 o'clock with Tom Martz here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. A couple minutes left this hour here at Scramblers with Tom Martz.
Did you know that Novak Djokovic becomes the first professional athlete in history to be banned from a sporting competition for not taking drugs?
And that's something.
I think he's like one of the top three players in tennis. For him to be banned from a competition in Australia and apparently in France as well, simply because he will not get vaccinated, is absolutely ludicrous. But that's the way the sporting world has gone.
Well, and what adds to lunacy is the fact that the vaccine is irrelevant when it comes to other people's health.
Right.
For a while, that was the rationale that people would use as to why it is that government has the right to tell you what to do with your own body. It's like, well, it's not your own body, because without the vaccine, you could do harm to others. With the vaccine, you can still equally do harm to others. So there is nothing that is medically based in this, in the argument of the greater good, as we continue to hear, helping others. But there is this unwillingness to learn and adapt based on information that we learn, and a stubbornness and an arrogance that's there. And it's frightening, because the people who are displaying it are in charge of other people's lives.
And I also think I know why it is that Batman has not shown up after the emergency alert.
Yeah.
He's in quarantine.
Oh, he could very well be.
Possible. I mean, I don't know how many people got that test.
Well, and he already has against him the stigma that the Chinese propaganda pushing out, that it was something that came from the wet market, from a bat. So I could clearly see why Batman would be in quarantine.
And bats are a minority, by the way, so got that going for him, too.
Yeah, so he's got a real uphill battle. Tom Arch, thank you as always.
It is a great pleasure.
Good weekend to you as well. Today is the last day, incidentally, to register for those Reba McEntire tickets. She's going to be broadcasting live at the Q February 4th. You can go to ksgf.com today. Last day to get registered to win those tickets. I'm Nick Reed.